make you from one day to the next.
I do thank him for that.
Y'all bad with me today, I don't know where to get it. Last couple of days, my leg has been...
Been over a week of what, I don't know, but... I tell you, and I know it's the devil, I know it's what the devil wants. He wants his very best to try to defeat us as Christians. He wants to defeat us as individuals. He wants us to defeat us so we don't want to live for the Lord. But, you know, I know in the book of Hebrews it talks about the Lord and talks about the high priest. But in the book of Hebrews, it also speaks about the better things. There's better things to come. We just got to stay on the right path. And till he comes, he's coming back after the church. And I should believe that it's not going to be that long. I know I've said it time and time again. I'll continue saying it. But I just believe it. I believe in what this book says. I don't believe in what man says. I believe in what this book says. Because this book will never stir you wrong. It'll always lead you back to Jesus. I know it's a whole lot of people that have backslid on him and everything, but if you ever knew Jesus Christ, if ever been saved by the grace of God, I believe within time God would draw them back to him. And like I said many, many times, I always say this, the Christian, they don't backslide out in the world. They don't get out in the world, then call themselves backsliding. Where they first even think of the notion of backsliding is in the church. It's when they're not listening to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to them. We must be always mindful to that small, still voice that he speaks to us each and every day, throughout the day. But here, I want to talk to you about some rewards. The rewards where we're going to receive in heaven. You know, I know the Bible speaks of many, many, many crowns in the Bible. They speak of the crowns that the kings wore back in the Old Testament. They speak of the other type of crowns. But there's a special crown for the believer. There's number five, it's mentioned in God's word. The five crowns. And we have to labor for them five crowns. In saying that, I don't believe that we go out and we labor and we work for salvation. But, shall we give me some water? But we work and we labor because of salvation, not in receiving salvation. Because salvation comes by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So as we have the plan of salvation in our hearts, as we've been saved, we're not saved just to fill a pew. We're not just saved to just to take up space, but we're saved to work for the Lord. And, you know, I believe today that there's a whole lot of people thinks that they're saved. But I don't see how an individual can be saved and not love the house of the Lord. Because the Bible plainly teaches that if we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will put a desire in our heart and that desire can either grow within us or it can diminish in us one way or another. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. I may have read these verses once before, but and I don't think I've preached on this before, but if I have, I'll promise you one thing, it will not come out the same. But, because I believe that Jesus Christ lives today. He lives in our hearts, and this is what you are, what I'm holding up before you, is the very words of God. It's not the original manuscript because it's not of the Hebrew and the Greek, but it's to the English speaking people. But I believe it'll do something for you, it'll do something for all of us, it'll help us. To help us walk the straight and narrow way. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. Chapter 3 and verse 8. Says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in his world, in this world. Let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, or Clippus of the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, are all yours. And ye are God's, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. Our Father, if we have just read the Word of God, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that you'll take every word and every verse here, Father, and Lord, that you will anoint it from on high. And God, I pray, Father, that you will just touch these lips of clay. Father, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that no one can see me but see you. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the plan of salvation that you made so plain. You made it so easy for us and for individuals to accept you. But Father, we must come to you by faith. By faith in trusting you. And by faith, we will work for you. By faith, we will go out and we will witness for you, Father. And by faith, that we will do exactly what you'd asked us to do. We thank you for your marvelous grace, the amazing grace of God. And we thank you once again this day, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we do pray. Amen and amen. There's a vast difference in the doctrine of salvation for the lost and the doctrine of rewards for the saved. Yes, you can be saved. You can be saved, and you can be saved to the point, and you don't have to have no other rewards. But the only reward you'll have is the reward you'll receive because of your salvation. And that's the only reward. Yes, you can have that one. And you don't have to work for any other thing. You don't have to work for any other reward. But there's a difference between the reward for salvation and the rewards for the ones that are saved, truly saved and truly born again, because they're going to want to do everything they can to please the Lord. Salvation is the gift of God, not of works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. We're saved through faith, not by works. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is received by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of abiding on him. Rewards are according to the works of the believer. We receive the rewards because of our work and what we have trusted and what we have believed that Jesus Christ has done through salvation. And because we are saved and because we've been born again into the family of God, then that's when we work. And then that's when the rewards will come our way. We will not receive the rewards here on earth, but we will receive the rewards when we get to heaven. And there's not going to be a child of God that ever gets to heaven when they receive their reward that they will not want to just to be able to just bow down and lay every crown to the Lord Jesus Christ. Want to lay them to his feet because he is worthy for all the crowns. He is worthy of all our praise. There's nothing in this world that I know of that I deserve. I don't even deserve to stand here this morning. I don't even deserve, and I do not have the right, according to my own self, to stand and read the Word of God. But I do it, I can do it because of what he done there at Calvary. His finished work there at Calvary was the reason why I can do it. But we see where it's talking about up here, gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold and silver. The building of the eternal materials is building upon that reward there that we're going to receive one day in heaven. Then we got hay and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's where the believer that builds upon the gold and silver, gold and precious stone, shall receive a reward. But those who build upon wood, hay, and stubble will receive no reward. They will not receive a reward there. Why? Because what they are building upon today, they are building upon the materialistic things. They are building upon the home. They are building upon the automobiles. They are building upon their prestige. They are building upon their notoriety and all of these things. But one day, all of the things that we have built up here on this earth is going to reduce down to wood, where wood will burn, and it's going to burn one day. Hay, you can just go out here in a hay field, and you can just, and not a spark out in a hay field, a dried hay field, and that's what he's speaking about, the dried up hay field, because it has stubbles there. But you can just light, have a little spark be lit up and it fall in a hay field. And it will start out real small. And the next thing you know, it enlarges. It enlarges every second that, and it engulfs the whole field. And then it engulfs the whole forest. Same way with the stubble. The stubbles will burn. And what people are putting up today, they're going to burn one day. And whole lot of people today is saying, I have all the time in the world. I don't need to get saved today. I got plenty of time to get saved. No doubt there's been some people where their names has been in the obituary column that maybe had thought about the same thing. I need to go out here and sow my wild oats. And in sowing their wild oats is a testimony that they say that they got all the time in the world to get saved. They don't need to get saved today. They can wait. They can wait to another time. But there's not another time. There's not another tomorrow. There's not another today until you get to that day. Today is the day of salvation. Wood, hay, and stubble work will be destroyed at the judgment seat of Christ. The believer will suffer loss, but not the loss of salvation. Yeah. It's going to be a whole lot of individuals is going to suffer loss. But once you're saved, you can never lose your salvation. And I don't understand how these preachers can get up there on Sunday morning and yesterday they were saved and something happened maybe yesterday afternoon and they done something wrong and then realize it till the next morning that they done something wrong and they say they don't feel like they're saved. If they don't feel like they're saved, then how can they get up here and open the Word of God and preach from the Word? Because the way I understand things and the way I rationalize things is that individual has got to go back to the cross. The Holy Spirit has got to convict them of the sin again to where they can call upon the name of Jesus. You just cannot get saved because on the spur of the moment, I won't get saved today. No, it's the drawing of the Word. It's the drawing of the preaching of the gospel. It's the drawing of the Holy Spirit will lead all sinners to Jesus. You can't get saved. You can't get saved because you want to get saved because I feel like I'm lost today. Yeah, I felt sometimes that maybe that I have doubted my salvation. I've doubted my salvation at times. But when I doubted it, it wasn't nothing but the devil telling me, and then I can go back over into the Scripture, and the Scripture tells me we must try the Spirit. We must try the Spirit and how the Spirit speaks to us. We just need to know and what the Spirit of God is saying. Because we can also know that the spirit of the devil can speak just as eloquent and just like God. Because he knows this Bible from cover to cover. There's not nothing in here that the devil does not know. He knows the Bible inside and out. That's the reason God says, you must try the Spirit. You must see which spirit you're serving. Are you serving the Spirit of God? Or are you serving the spirit of the devil? Or the spirit of the world? 5 crowns. The word crown mentioned 66 times in the Bible. Rewards are called crowns also in the New Testament. And like I said earlier, there's number 5 crowns mentioned in the New Testament. And them crowns are to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first crown is the crown of life. to those that love God. Now, you cannot love God without knowing God, without knowing Him in a personal way. We have a whole lot of people say, well, yeah, I love God, but they don't love what He stands for. They don't love the house of God. They don't love the fellowship of God. They don't love to come in from out of the world for at least 4 or 5 hours a week and just say, hey, I'm coming to hear something from God. Because we don't hear any good news anymore outside of the church house. We don't hear anything good anymore outside. Everything outside is negative. But if we ever want to get connected and we ever want to be among people that's positive, then we must come to the house of God. You can take an automobile like that and you can put a brand new battery in it. And yes, you can go up and you can hook up a negative post to it. You can hook a negative cable to it. But if you don't hook something else on the other post, it's not going to crank. You can sit there and you can keep turning that switch on like that. Nothing's going to happen. It's not going to turn over. It's not going to crank. It's not going to make a noise. Nothing. The radio is not going to make a noise, nothing. But when you put the positive cable to it, that is when you can fire it up. That's when we'll come to the house of God so we can be energized within the people that is here. So because we hear something positive, we can hear where God has blessed them and they're thanking God for just being with them through the week. But yet, we have a whole lot of people that don't want even come because they've got their feelings on the shoulder. They've had their feelings up here. Because somebody walked in and walked past them and didn't shake his hands or something like that, it knocked the feelings off. Or maybe the preacher didn't shake their hand, so it knocked the feelings off. So they get out of church. If I miss shaking people's hands, it's not because I want to. It's because I may have been busy talking to someone else or whatever. But that wasn't my intention. That's not my intention to overlook anybody. But I want to ask you this question. If you get fretted because I didn't shake your hand, are you going to get out of church because of it? Are you going to allow something that maybe that man had done to cause you to get out of church? That tells me that if they're saved, they're still a baby. They're still on the bottle. They're on that bottle. On the milk, yes. While they're on the bottle and on the milk, they can't drink the milk all day long. So then they got their little pacifier to put in their mouth. To pacify. I'm not here to pacify anybody. I'm here to help people. I'm here to help people to get back to where we can worship a living God. Because He is living. He lives within my heart and my soul. If you're saved, then I can see Him in your life. I can see Him there. Why? Because He lives within you. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Paul said that we can praise the Lord in the time of trouble. How often was Paul tempted? How often was Paul tried? How often was Paul there was troubled? No doubt Paul was troubled. But see, God knew that in Paul, that he knew he had somebody that had a backbone. Yes, he was discouraged and he was troubled, but he also knew that Paul had a backbone, that he was not going to allow discouragement. He wasn't going to allow troubles come his way to get him away from God, because he had been away from God for so many years. So many years. You know, that one time that we was all there with God, when we was that little infant, that little child there that was birthed into this world. Yes, if the rapture happens to take place, they go into heaven. If they have not got to the age of accountability, what is the age of accountability? I do not know. Each individual has got their own point of accountability. The age of accountability is not what everybody says I hear. And you have too many independent Baptist preachers. You have too many Baptist preachers I hear is saying that the age of accountability is 12 years old. No, it's not. That was the age that the Catholic had come up with, because that was about the age of Jesus, when Jesus went and he went into the temple where they were speaking and where the doctors was teaching. So they come up with the age of 12 years old. But that's not the age of accountability. Brother Roy Newton, about 3 years ago, he buried his niece. She's 68 years old. And she had never reached the age of accountability. Why? Because of her sickness and her illness. Because she didn't understand. She did not understand right from wrong. She did not understand what was going on around her. I don't know what was wrong with her, but she just didn't understand. She couldn't do for herself. She couldn't walk. She couldn't hardly talk. And what she did, could talk, was just like a mumble. She kind of mumbled the word. Come out, and Brother Roy got to the point that at times he could understand her and what she was saying. But he says she had never got to the age of accountability, and she had 68 years old. Now, if that was the case, then the Catholic will condemn her to hell. And all the other preachers I hear will condemn her to hell. Well, I can't condemn her to hell. I'm not her judge. I don't know her heart. God is the only one that knows her heart. She also knows her own heart too. But she cannot come up with the words. She cannot rationalize things to where she knows right and wrong. There's so many people. I've
We got more infants out here today. Every time that I go out and visit somebody, and I talk to them, I believe that I'm talking to a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, or something like that. Because everybody that I meet is saved. Everybody that I see, I talk to, is going to heaven. They tell you, say, if Jesus was to come back today, I know where I'd be at. I'd be there in heaven with Jesus. Then I come down to the question, well, which church do you go to? I don't go to church. I don't have to go to church. Nobody, you don't have to go to church to get saved. I said, you're right, you don't. I says, but if you truly get saved, you're going to want to be in the house of God, where God's people is at, because of the people of the world is not going to lead you in the right direction. You're going to end up being in the same shape that you was before. And you probably still are. But everybody's saved today. One preacher come out and said that, yeah, that's what they call this easy believism. Yes, they can believe because it's easy for them. Well, you know, that's the only thing that I can honestly say that I agree with you on. Yes, it's easy. It's the most simplest plan that there is asking Jesus to save me. But what the problem is, they know and they expect what's coming next. They got to make a commitment. Not to the church. They got to make a commitment to God. And once they make a commitment to God, they'll make a commitment to the church.
Crown incorruptible, the spiritual race. We are all in that spiritual race today. If we want to receive that reward, we're in that spiritual race. But if we don't want to receive that reward, we don't have to receive the rewards of the spiritual race, the crown of incorruptible. Any other crowns, we don't have to receive them. We don't have to receive them. He's not going to make us receive them. He's not going to come down here and shake his fist at me and says, Donnie, you're going to do this today. No. Through the Holy Spirit, he's going to say, Donnie, I really would like for you to go and visit them people. Donnie, I would love for you to read this scripture in the Bible. No, he don't make nobody. He don't make nobody. I didn't hit him with two crowns today. The crown of life, which speaks of salvation and the love for God, and then the crown of incorruptible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, in closing. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the magistrate is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, the Christians, an incorruptible crown. We're not looking to go out here and do the things of the world.
At least we should. Because the world will lead us to corruption. But we must strive for that incorruptible crown.
And I'm going to finish up. I'm going to try to finish the other three crowns up next Sunday.
Because there's a whole lot in it. Y'all just pray for me. Y'all come back tonight. I really don't know what I'm going to be preaching on, but I'm going to just wait on the Spirit of God.
The Lord spoke to your heart.